Genesis. I'm loving Genesis, but you know, today we got to read a genealogy. Do we have to?
We do, and we're going to read every single name.
But they're so boring.
Oh, but there's some amazing details tucked in here, and stay around all the way to the end because there's an amazing surprise.
A surprise today here
on More Than Ink.
More Than Ink. That's us. I'm Jim.
And I'm Dorothy.
And we're glad you're with us today. We are romping our way through Genesis. But I guess romping is the wrong word because we're only up to chapter 5.
Well, besides which, it makes it sound kind of frivolous.
there's
some pretty heavy-duty stuff in Genesis.
There is. And, you know, we've mentioned before, it can be kind of slow going in Genesis because it's very compact. There's a lot of stuff to scratch your head over.
Yeah, and the beginnings of everything. Right, the beginnings of everything big.
Yeah. So, however, it's also the answer to the beginnings of a lot of things that show up in the rest of the Bible all the way through the end of the New Testament. So you got to be grounded in Genesis in order to understand the arc all the way to Revelation. So that's why we're looking at it. So where we come to, last time we followed the line of Cain. And, you know, Cain, the bad guy who killed his brother Abel. And we followed his line, and it ended with Lamech, who had just a grotesquely horrible kind of reputation, a bragging reputation about how nasty and
violent. Well, it wasn't just his reputation. It was the way he lived.
His pride, yeah. So it was really the line of Cain we looked at through seven generations, and it was just icky. It's just icky. However, there's another line of offspring from Adam and Eve. One was Abel, but he was killed by Cain. But then Abel gets replaced. God brings another child, and his name is Seth. So we're kind of following down Seth, because at the end of chapter 4, it says at that time people began to call upon the name of the Lord, which is, it's a nice clear the air coming after the whole chapter 4 about Cain and the nastiness of his offspring. So we're going to look at the line of Seth, and that causes us to turn into chapter 5.
Let me just interrupt you for a second, because it's probably important to realize that these two lines are happening in parallel, right? That it's not when we get to the end of the line with Lamech that, and then Seth is
born.
And then everything goes
forward. Seth is a brother of Cain.
There's a doubling back.
So here, we went forward in seven generations, and now we're kind of coming back a little bit.
But, right.
Just to highlight. In fact, the book of Genesis is actually separated into 10 set of 10 family groups in a way. There's this line that comes out. You might see it coming, so keep your eyes out for it. These are the generations of, and you'll see 10 of those. And so we've gone through the one of the generations of mankind, basically. Then we get to Seth, and so that's where we are here. There'll be actually 10 of these, and the last one will end up with Jacob. So,
well, okay, and it's important that we understand something about ancient genealogies, and that is that they often include just the landmark names, right, for the sake of what is being communicated.
And
Not all the children, right? We have that pattern that we're going to read in a minute. Not all the children. So particular children are selected for the sake of demonstrating the connection between the generations.
Right.
That the connections are more important than the actual dates.
Exactly.
And so that's kind of important to understand. And the long, long lives that we see here are consistent with other ancient genealogies coming out of other cultures. So it's not that this is just a biblical weirdness. This is recorded in Sumerian and Babylonian and other early genealogies.
Yeah. And since there wasn't a standardized calendar too of years,
it
normally always goes by genealogies, by generations. So
I just want to encourage you listeners, don't skip over these genealogies when you come to them. You think, oh, your eyes roll up in your head, so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. But the connections being established there are really important.
Yes.
And there's usually a sequence being emphasized, and there are little glorious details included at different points. So don't skip them.
So we're not going to skip it today. coming into chapter 5.
Well, this one's important.
We're going to see Adam's descendants all the way to Noah, Adam to Noah, which is fascinating.
Okay, so one more little thing. Mm-hmm. I actually sat down today and did it again. I've done it several times and kind of added up the numbers and made a little chart. And granted, it's not perfect, and I'm not an Old Testament scholar, but it appears to me at first glance that Adam was still living when Noah was born.
Yes, when he was born.
Or very close to
it. That's my remembrance.
Yeah, too. And so that gives us a really interesting perspective here, because Adam would have been around to talk about his
exactly.
walk with God.
All of these guys, we're going to talk about 10 generations now, and all of them, most of them, probably had an opportunity to sit down with Adam and ask
right.
about the Garden of Eden.
These days, the most generations we ever see in one place is 4, maybe 5.
Right, right.
But here we have 10 generations, these very long lives.
Long lives. So let's just take a look at these. This is cool stuff. So we're looking at chapter 5, if okay. you're going to follow with us. But
yep.
Take it. Verse 1.
Now. Okay. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. Do you want to stop there for a second?
Sure. Yeah. So this is kind of a recap.
It's a
we
recap.
Know this. We know this. God made man. And by the way, Adam is the word
means
for man.
And
in fact, that very first sentence or two, the generations of Adam when God created man, those two words, Adam and man, are exactly the same word.
Yeah.
So this word in Hebrew can be used either as a proper name for Adam the man,
right,
or for a general group of people, or for all mankind. So it means man.
Yeah. And that's actually typical of lots of Old Testament words.
Yes.
They have this rich kind of parallel meaning that you have to mm-hmm. interpret by the context. Okay, we got all the context here.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Verse 3. So when Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness and after his image and named him Seth. Okay, wait a minute. He had already had sons. Weren't they after his image and in his likeness?
This is his third son.
Right,
yeah, right. So, yeah. But we're going to follow Seth. That's the whole thing about this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
His descendants.
Oh, yeah. I had some other interesting thoughts about Seth being in his father's image and likeness, which made me just wonder, you know, are we emphasizing that while Adam was made in the image and likeness of God, mm-hmm. Seth was in the image and likeness of Adam, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. who sinned,
right?
Right? So
right.
Seth inherited probably his father's proneness to sin, even yeah. though we're going to follow his Godward
yeah.
line. Okay.
Although this is kind of a hint at the fact that we're made in God's image, and here's a way in which we are made in his image. We're actually creating, we're procreating.
Right.
And God made him, you know, and now he's given that to us to do as well. So.
Okay. All right. That's good. Let's read now.
Yeah. Okay. Verse 4.
Okay. So the days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died.
And he died.
So that's going to be the pattern.
Right.
He lived.
Just like that.
He fathered a son. Then he lived more years and had more children. And
right.
then he died.
And he died.
That's a really important earmark on right. this particular genealogy.
Right, right. However, in this genealogy, they won't follow that perfectly.
Well, and there's going to be one who stands out.
Stands out because of that. So keep listening.
Okay. Verse, where are we? 6?
6.
When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel.
Excellent, excellent, Mahalalel.
Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died.
Yes.
When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died.
Mm.
When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Jared were 962 years,
and he died.
When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Wow, that's a short one.
Short one, yeah.
Verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
There's okay. a different one.
We'll circle back to that.
Yeah, we'll come back.
Read down and Noah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So Enoch had fathered Methuselah. Now, verse 25. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived, after he fathered Lamech, 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Hmm. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Lamech lived, after he fathered Noah, 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. Hmm. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay, we got some great details tucked away, almost hidden in this.
Yeah, so we just went through 10 generations, and there's some, you know, it sounds like it's cookie cutter. It sounds like every generation is mentioned the same like you mentioned before, but there are some differences. It's in those differences that it draws your attention. So what were some of them that drew your attention?
Well, and he died, and he died,
and he died, and he died.
You know, and because we figure that Noah, or that Adam was still living, mm-hmm. Adam is seeing his generations.
Yeah.
Giving birth and dying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's, I know he didn't see them all die, but he saw enough of them die.
Yeah.
And he saw them born, he saw the multiplying happen, but this pattern... Death became a reality for every one of Adam's offspring, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. He lived to see the full effect in yeah. every generation.
Yeah,
that really is interesting to me. And yet we have buried in the middle of this genealogy, Enoch, who walked with God, and God just said, this one's mine.
Let's go down and focus on him for a second, because he really is interesting. I mean, it's different because the narrative suddenly shifts right there to say something peculiar mm-hmm. because he doesn't die. So, but before it even says that though, it says that Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And I looked up that phrase walked with mm-hmm. God, and it really means kind of a repeated intimacy, a presence.
Right.
And he really stands out because none of the others have been mentioned like that. Enoch was different that way. And he ended up fathering Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. But he, you know, he has one of the shortest lifespans.
He does.
365. I mean, Adam is in 930,
right.
And Methuselah is longer too. So, but he's short. And you say, oh, poor Enoch, he must have had a bad cold one day.
Well,
no, actually, God just took him.
Here's another thing. According to my little off the cuff chart here, Adam was still living when mm-hmm. God took Enoch. Mm-hmm. So that's just really hopeful for Adam, I think.
Yeah, what do you think he thought when he saw the succession of his descendants dying and then Enoch is just taken by God?
Yeah, now, you know, we can't peg these years for certain. This
right.
is just my own little kind of, I need to understand what's happening here as the multiplication of the generations mm-hmm. is going mm-hmm. on. But, you know, the New Testament talks about those who will still be living when the Lord comes back,
right?
Paul
right.
talks about it in 1 Corinthians 15 and
right.
1 Thessalonians 4, being caught up, being changed, right? Just
yes.
being sucked right out of their mortal life into immortality.
Yes.
And that's clearly what happened with Enoch.
Where they're not dying.
No. And
yeah.
the only other person we know of that happened to in the scriptures in the Old Testament is Elijah.
Right, Elijah. Yeah, go check it out. 2 Kings 2, Elijah, this happens to too. And you're
right.
We
have more details for Elijah because Elisha saw him go.
A ton more. But it's interesting here because Enoch and Elijah, he's all, you know, and that Elijah's taking up his, also covered in Hebrews 11, of course, because he's doing his history there. But what is fascinating about it is that technically what verse 24 says is that Enoch walked with God and he couldn't be found.
Right.
So it makes it, it's literally what it means. He couldn't be found. So it makes it sound like he was around one day and then no one could find him.
He was just walking off with God.
So as opposed to the Elijah account where, you know, you can see what happens.
Right.
It's pretty well documented. In Enoch's case, it's like...
he just disappeared.
Just wasn't around anymore. And God wanted to come to him. And so, and yeah, and that New Testament idea about those who remain before Jesus returns, yeah, that we call that the rapture.
Right. Although that word never appears in Scripture.
It doesn't appear anywhere, but it literally in Greek means to be snatched up.
Right.
So to, just to be pulled out. So it's exactly the same idea here in Hebrew for Enoch, is that he was around and then he, no one could find him and he was with God. Yeah. So it, it's just a fascinating thing. And why? Because Enoch walked with God. Hmm. There was an intimacy there.
Well, I mean, I find that really encouraging because for we who... who seek to walk with God in that same way, the translation from this life into the next one, we mm-hmm. want it to be that seamless, right?
Right,
We desire for us simply to be walking on this earth one day and to be walking with God the next moment.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that's a lovely, a hopeful desire.
Well, and I've always taken it kind of as a template for what happens when you die, that you're there and then all of a sudden you're not there, but you're with God, you know? So,
well, Paul even says that, right? That we're one moment we're in the body, the next moment we're with God.
Yeah.
We're at home either place.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so Enoch gets taken.
Okay. So, let's talk about Lamech and Noah for a minute. Can we shift gears?
Yeah. And don't be confused. The name Lamech has come up before, but
this is not Cain's Lamech.
Right. This is a different Lamech.
Well, that brings up an interesting point because if you read carefully through the two genealogies, the line of Cain and the line of Seth, there are some similarities and some parallelism between the names.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so if you're not paying attention, you can easily get confused.
Yeah.
So, and it's interesting that they both come down to a Lamech. He's the last name in Cain's line, but he's the second to the last name in this line.
Actually, Lamech's name from Cain lines up generationally with Enoch. So it's an interesting contrast right there, is that Cain's Lamech went out blazing guns as a nasty, nasty
violent
guy. I mean, he's a messenger of death in so many ways, you know, and he brags in that little song about the fact that he killed this young man who had wounded him. That's that Lamech.
Right.
Well, if you come down Cain's brother, Seth, and the line that we're just reading right now, you go down to the same level of generation, you get to Enoch. So now Enoch is the one who's been taken by God and kind of has eternal life just like that. So it's an interesting kind of comparison. Cain's seventh generation is a bad dude.
Mm.
Seth's seventh generation is Enoch, who got taken by God because he walked with God. Mm. What a nice contrast.
That's really helpful.
Yeah, nice contrast.
Okay, so did you notice how, you know, we have this pattern of so-and-so fathered so-and-so, fathered so-and-so, but when we get to Lamech in verse 28, the wording is different.
It changes now.
Listen, verse 28, yes, when Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son, right? That's very specific.
That's a different phrase.
And called his name Noah.
And he named him.
And then we get his commentary.
How about what the name means?
So that's fascinating to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're aiming towards Noah because in the subsequent chapters, we're going to look at the destruction of mankind.
Right.
So Noah's a central figure here.
The story's going to center on Noah.
But him explaining to us what his name means, that triggered a curiosity in me years ago. And I'll share that in just a second because it is distinguished here. But Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years. Other sons and daughters, 770 years he lived. So this one is different. This last one is different. Coming from Lamech to Noah, we know that he fathered a son. I don't know why that phrase is included because they all fathered sons. But this
is a specific son.
This is a specific son. Yeah, out of all the ones that he had fathered. And now, I mean, let's look at his description of what it means. He named him Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief or rest or comfort. It's all those kinds of ideas of a solution to that pain, the turmoil and the pain. And that's who Noah is. Now, clearly, you know, this is prophetic in some way because he hasn't demonstrated this yet.
He's a baby.
Yeah. it's not like he suddenly mechanized the farm, and that's why Lamech says, I'm going to name him the kid that makes farming easy.
But
that's
not it. But you know what? If Adam was still living, he would have been telling the story, you know, before the fall, he wouldn't have used that term, but before we did this thing, here's what the garden was like.
Right.
And then even the very ground changed.
Yeah.
So, you know, that this instance here, Lamech uses the actual language, out of the ground the Lord has cursed.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes. And so he's actually hinting very strongly that this adversarial relationship that man's going to have with the ground, has had with the ground,
right.
in fact, that's going to change. That's something, you know, something about the residence of mankind will suddenly be eased, and there will be rest, and there will be comfort, and it's something radically will change between the relationship of man and God's creation. And that's, and Noah is going to be instrumental in that.
Hmm.
Is that interesting? So I mentioned a second ago, this raised a curiosity to me years ago, and I looked into it and found that someone had done what I'm going to tell you about in a second here, a couple of years before I'd actually looked into it. Just the very fact that we have the name of Noah, it made me wonder, what do the other names mean?
What do the other names mean?
Right.
I wondered that too.
So you can go through, like a Strong's Concordance, many concordances, although you have to go a little bit deeper on some of these names,
mm-hmm.
but many of the concordances will say the root of this name is this Hebrew meaning and stuff like that. So like, for instance, Noah comes from actually two words that start with the word, the letter N, and one of them means rest, and then one of them means comfort, and they're very similar. They're very similar. So that's why we look at that. So I started looking back, and here's what I found out. Now, we already knew when we started this, Adam, the word in Hebrew, Adam, means
man.
Man, okay? Mm-hmm. So you write that down on a piece of paper. Let's go to the next guy. Seth is next. Well, that one's explained for us, too. It means appointed, right? He was appointed,
right.
as another.
Appointed.
So now Seth is appointed. Now we're going to make a sentence out of all these names. Starts with Adam, man, Seth, appointed. Enosh means mortal. Means you're going to die.
Mm.
That one's really clear. Kenan means sorrow.
Ugh.
Sorrow. And there's no explanation in this text the connection to the circumstances. That's what it means in Hebrew. It means sorrow. Mahalalel, you know, when you hear an L at the end of something, it means God. And Mahalalel means the blessed God, the wonderful God, the exalted God, the blessed God. Jared's an interesting one that comes after that. Mahalalel has Jared. Jared means He shall come down. What? Like on that TV show. Yo, Bill, come on.
Come
down.
On down.
Yeah, shall come down. That's what Jared means. It means to come down. And then we get to Enoch. And Enoch, that was a hard one for me to look into, but it means teaching or communicating or declaring something, news, basically like a herald. Then you get to Methuselah. Methuselah is a weird one. It's a composite Hebrew word that means death. The muth part is death. And then the thusala part is about coming, shall bring. So his name literally means his death shall bring. His death shall bring. And it's interesting that if you do the math, like we've been saying,
right.
and do the math, this is really kind of fun. If you do the math and you look at the end, the year that Methuselah dies, based on this
right.
genealogy, is the year the flood comes.
That's what I thought when
yeah.
I was laying these out earlier.
That's the year the flood comes. So somewhere in there, we have this kid Methuselah, and everyone's kind of holding their breath if he ever gets sick because they know everyone's going to die after that. You know?
Well, I don't know that they actually know that, but
they
they're
know
wondering.
That. But his death shall bring.
He lives the longest
he
of
does.
Everybody on the
yeah,
list.
He does. And then we get to his son, Lamech, which means despairing. Despairing or bummed out or just depressed or hopeless is a really good translation.
Mm.
And then you get to Noah, which you have right here, which means rest and comfort. Now you string those together in a sentence, and here's the sentence, and see if this rings any bells with you. Starts with Adam, man. Man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest.
Hmm.
It's the gospel message in the name.
That's pretty right astonishing. There.
Yeah, let me read that again.
Yeah, I remember the first time I heard that, my jaw dropped.
Yeah. Man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest and comfort. Zoinks. Yeah, that's fascinating.
And, isn't that amazing?
And it doubly gets crazy when you realize that Noah, as we're going to unfold the rest of the story, is a guy who's going to be the one who brings about the salvation for a small number of people, a remnant to survive from the wrath of God on the world. And clearly that's exactly Jesus' role too. So we'll find in a second as we continue on the narrative that Noah is kind of a type of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Peter himself talks about an ark.
He does.
So we'll get to that when we get to that. But it's just fascinating that here that all the lead up, the 10 generations leading up from the beginning of mankind to Noah, who is the first savior of mankind to save a remnant, describes the entire gospel story that'll unwrap from here to the end of Revelation.
You wonder if the people who, well, of course, there were lots of named people, if they had any idea of the significance of these particular names. But you kind of think that perhaps the writer, the recorder of this genealogy, understood that.
I think so, because we have to work to get the Hebrew meanings. They would read the word, the names, and go, I know what that means.
Right. Yeah. And probably would have memorized the list.
Yeah.
Maybe not the years and the begat so-and-sos, but the lists of names in proper order. So you would find yourself reciting this sentence over and over
and
over again.
The sentence just keeps popping out and popping out.
You know, that's an excellent memory tool, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing comfort. Mm.
Wow.
Wow. Well, we are almost out of time. And we're going to turn the page next time, and we're going to be looking at Noah, right? So, and it's the lead up to the flood, and Noah's role as the guy who is the one chosen by God to carry a remnant
of through mankind, the flood when everybody else on the cursed earth
and the wrath of God comes down on all the earth.
Oh.
Yeah, it's crazy. So anyway, I'm Jim.
And I'm Dorothy.
And we're glad you're with us, and we hope you're following us. And now we want to encourage you. Get out a pencil and a piece of paper and do some of this math.
That's right. Just
lay
it out.
Look up some of these names and do a little homework, and you will be blessed because, like I say, there's more here than meets the eye. So we'll come back with us next time, and we'll look into Noah and the coming of the flood here
on More Than Ink.
There are many more episodes of this broadcast to be found at our website, morethaninc.org. And while you are there, take a moment to drop us a note.
Well, you know what all those names mean to me? It means that this isn't myth. This is actually history.
Ah, real people who lived and died.
Real people, not legends. Yeah, so that's an important part of what we're seeing as we're reading Genesis. Come back and see us next time. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a production of Main Street Church of Brigham City.